Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
Thank you.
2022. We're going into year 10, y'all. What can I say? We just keep doing what we do. Welcome to another edition of Soul Food Radio in the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis, single DJ Honeycomb of Total Music Concepts, LTD. And it's good to be in the house still. Soul Food Radio in the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins from the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all, let me get that out. Get all the good shit. But who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now, at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, wherever they may be. Rio, Reggie, and Richmond, Virginia. The Orlando Ledbetter and Sonic Charles Jones in Philadelphia. Our brother Mighty Oba Pat Freeman in Western New York during his thing. Ricky Hampton Sr., Tim Turner, and Mike Robertson with the African American Athlete Show. Check them out every Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern. As always, the usual cast will come in to do what they do. So, while I got y'all here, let's get the bad shit out the way. Last year, I got hit with a double doo-wop health-wise. Now, I should recover with no problem. But, you know, they always got to do this shit to a brother. I'll say this much. Yeah, I know I got to die. But I definitely don't want to die behind no bullshit. You know what I mean? So we do what we do, and we carry on to provide the best show we possibly can and give you information that, once we give it to you, y'all decide what you're going to do with it. Aside from that, we move on and thank the ancestors for being able to do so. Riding the shotgun with me, as always, bad man from the East Bay, Gary Norris Gray. What up, G? Happy New Year.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. The rollicking song he speaks along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain pink and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Just win, baby. Just win.
Yes, indeed. In 2022,
Michael,
that's what we do.
Michael,
yes, sir.
I've been thinking about this song all week long.
How come? I'm a real.
And, well, the reason is because there's so much injury in the Oakland Raiders.
That's true.
Not Vegas Raiders. Not L.A. Raiders. Oakland Raiders.
Also
and
true.
They will always be Oakland Raiders.
I hear that.
That's what I'm saying.
Also, that need be said. We have the other member of the MiG-9 with us, our editor-in-chief emeritus, Tony McClain. What's up, T-Mac?
Good evening.
Yeah. Okay.
Look, guys,
so,
the reason why I say Oakland Raiders
is
because
what?
That's where they came from. And all the Southerners grabbed them. I'm sorry. They're Oakland Raiders.
You're right.
Then can I call the Dodgers the Brooklyn Dodgers too, then, if that's the case?
Exactly.
again.
But you know what? For one team to develop a persona like they did, I got to give Oakland credit. I loved those boys when they were on TV back in the old AFL days.
They were nasty.
Yes.
They were.
They had fun, but they enjoyed kicking you in the ass. Well, I appreciate that.
I got to give it to John Madden. John Madden said, okay, we're dirty, okay. We're nasty, okay. All you got to do is beat us. You can't beat us, so be quiet.
That's true. And with John Madden's passing, that's an era gone. But, you know, for everything they want to say about football, Madden did more to enhance the rate of mystique than even Al Davis did in some cases, because even though Davis always talked that shit about he must go down hard in the first few plays, Madden initiated that. Madden went through it then. Madden had the talent and the nasty players to follow through on his designs.
I forgot that the original colors were black and gold. The first year, 2 years, they were black and gold.
Really?
The first year, they were black and gold. And Al Davis said, no, we're not doing this. And he had a silver.
That's right, because he went to West Point.
Yes.
He copied the black knights and their colors.
The
colors iconic and the style is iconic. They will come out on the field and they'll say, here's our guys. We'll line up against your guys. And we will whip your ass. Either way, y'all know what's coming. They were the past version of Green Bay. Because everybody knew about the sweep. Everyone knew that when they ran the sweep, Gillingham would pull or Kramer would pull. One way or another, though, you had to come to a realization that we will run this until you stop this. And with the Raiders, that's exactly what they did.
Well,
if he threw deep six times and he hit twice, that's 14 points. You can't do nothing with that. And that was the way they played. That was the way they played many of their games. So I was like, good team.
Well, just the thing, you know, he allegedly, the whole thing with him was he said he had three rules. You know, be on time, you know, play your ass off on Sunday. And I forget what the third rule was. But, play like hell when I tell you, I think it was other. But again, he didn't oversimplify. See, the simplification of Madden was that the one thing I always appreciated with him was that end of the day, he was an old lineman. And see, you know, for all the offensive gurus and the great play callers and all that, you know, the thing with them was that they just play, you know. You know how we always like to talk about, you know, the difference between the Steelers and the Cowboys for so long was that, you know, the Cowboys, while they may have had just as much, in some instances, more talent than the Steelers, but they, you know, they tried to, you know, for as great a coach as Landry was, he outthought himself. You got to remember, this is the same guy. See, remember, the year that he finally won his first Super Bowl, the first half of the season, he was out there, you know, dueling quarterbacks with Craig Morton and Roger Staubach, and he literally had to sort of be shamed into starting Roger. And again, no disrespect to Craig Morton,
the Cowboys were fancy dancy.
Well, it's not so much the fancy dancing, but see, they overthought stuff because
that's right.
And see, that's the thing, because see, you got to remember, Landry, the other number, the Giants of the 50s, Jim Lee Howe, you know, next to Uncle Joe on Petticoat Junction, was the laziest man in the East Coast. He basically had Lombardi run the offense and Landry run the defense. He had two Hall of Fame coaches there that basically put them, and the Giants of the 50s, they won their share of championships and were in the mix and what have you. But the thing was that he just basically delegated, and he was the head coach. Now Lombardi, he was more hands on, and Landry was hands on. But also the thing was is that Lombardi didn't overthink it. It goes back to what Mike said about the power sweep. Everybody and their mama, and even their mama's mama, knew that they were going to run the power sweep.
They're running it again.
Yes. Exactly. And he basically, you still had to stop it. And you would think that just through osmosis that Landry would have picked that up. But see, remember, for the longest time, it took a while before they won that first Super Bowl. And to bring it all full circle, it happened the same way with the Raiders. Now, the thing was, it was a sense of timing, I guess, with them because, they won some great games. The Ghost at the Post, the Sea of Hands. Now they've also lost their share too. Remember, they had a chance. They won the Heidi game, but they lost AFL championship game to the Jets. And of course, an obscure divisional game in 72 that people still talk about.
But
I think the thing is you have to look at the entire history. Because see, the crazy thing is, it's funny. They only won that one Super Bowl in the Madden era. Now, granted, he was only there for 10 years, but it's interesting that they don't get the kind of ridicule that the one title Atlanta Braves of the 90s gets. That Oakland team is always looked upon with more whatever, as opposed to the Atlanta teams where they, they're sort of ridiculed. And the thing about it is, they dominated their era much like the Raiders. But see, the different thing with the Raiders was, they had to go. They had to go through either Miami or Pittsburgh,
to get
their titles. Now, there will be some Pittsburgh fans that will say, "Hey, the only reason you beat us was because Rocky and Franco couldn't play." But you could say that too. But there's a lot of instances in sports as well. Again, not trying to overblow the whatever. The thing with Madden, and I implore anybody, if you didn't catch Fox's All Madden documentary, it's on Tubi, and again, it is worth the I think it's like
it
an
really
hour
is.
15 minutes. It's worth it because see, I had forgotten his impact, and this goes beyond the board. This goes beyond the video game and what have you. And look, as great as with a lot of icons, near the end they started to become a caricature of himself. He definitely was a caricature of himself those last 2-3 years. But he had built up such a reputation over the years in watching the game. And see, the thing is, he's an icon in the sense because you can talk to three different people they'll look at him three different ways. The younger generation knows of him because of the Madden games.
Yeah.
There's another generation that knows him as arguably the greatest coach in Raider history. Vegas, L.A., Oakland, Dubuque, depending on whatever city you want to throw in there. And then, of course, there's a generation of folks that know him as the great announcer. And that just shows you, you know, the kind of impact that he really had. Now,
no question,
there were some folks that thought, well, he only got into the Hall of Fame because of his TV career. And that, you know, that would be kind of ignorant because he still is the fastest man. Yeah, he still is the fastest man to win 100 games in NFL history.
Right.
That's right. And the Raiders, between 1973 1985 were the winningest team in the National Football League.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, they were.
Oh, look, there's a like whenever you would watch either their highlight video or read their media guide, they made it a point to have that one page where they would put where their record during that era that Gary was talking about. They put their record up against, like, you know, all the teams in all of sports.
They were the
winningest franchise in regards to that. There's absolutely no doubt about that.
The reason why the Raiders are in Las Vegas right now is because Al Jr., a.k.a. whatever his name is, Al Jr. did not like the commissioner of football.
Well, his dad wasn't too crazy about it
either. Al Jr. was sticking up his butt. That's why the Raiders are in Vegas right now.
And look, somewhere in football heaven, Al Davis is kicking the shit out of Pete Rozelle's dog. Let's be clear here. And Madden may be in the background sort of snickering. You know, so let's
no question.
Let's be clear here.
Radio coming in. Jump your ass back in.
Gary, as a Raider fan, who was the bigger rival, the Steelers or the Chiefs, in your opinion?
They're about equal because the Chiefs, we played twice a year, right? We played twice a year. In the playoffs, if they got to the playoffs, we played only once, maybe twice in our schedule. So it was more Chiefs than it was Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
But the Steelers were our mortal enemy because of the playoffs.
That was the ultimate East Coast West Coast thing for the longest time. And
I went to school in Illinois. I had never heard such vitriol against the Oakland Raiders. I was in Illinois. Those guys could not stand the Oakland Raiders.
I slightly beg to differ because when the NFL did their top 10 rivals, blah, 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 they should have included Chiefs Raiders. Those boys were the best two franchises when the league was ready to merge it, and they used to beat the shit out of each other.
Literally and figuratively.
You have guys like Marv Hubbard, number 44, came to the league as a Raider. He used to see Raiders when he played the Chiefs. And he'd play his ass off, bite people in the leg, all kinds of crazy shit. All right. He gets traded to the Chiefs. Same number. And now he's going batshit against the Raiders because they traded. So in terms of execution, they were similar. They wanted to do similar things in the air. Although Eldridge Dickey was drafted for the express purpose of clock blocking Kansas City.
Executing
their offense, the Lord's Prayer, had he come to Kansas City, would have been putting a hurt on the league.
We'll never know because... question, Michael. When Lenny does it, be Lenny does it, the Lord's Prayer, I don't think that would happen.
Well, that's my point. If Dickey had gotten a chance to play, he would have shown he was better. He had beat everybody in camp, clearly outplayed Stapleton camp, but Davis bitched up. You got to say it just like it is. Ain't no other way to say it. He bitched up.
You know, Mike, I want you now. This was pre, if I remember correctly, Dickey was pre-Madden, was he not?
Yes, he was.
I wonder how history might have changed because you get to, you know, and maybe I'm trying not to lord him up, but you sort of get the feeling that maybe Madden would have went with
It's a good
Dickey.
Point. Yep.
I think
Madden would be the best man for him.
Or at least would have given him a fair of enough shake because they had a little, you know, you got to remember, and I think Gary can attest to this as well.
True.
And you know, and Madden addressed that a lot. But see, let's put it this way: has there really been a coach that he, you know, really trusted as much as he did Madden? You got to remember, him and Chucky never got along.
That's a great point.
We all know. That him and the Shanahan folks didn't get along, and yes, you know, Art was there, and Art took them to some other, but Madden was all, you know, Madden, I think, again, can't guarantee it or what have you, but I let's put it this way, it would have been interesting to see if Dickey is in camp with Madden, would history have changed
little
bit. Remember, there was a little mini controversy with LaMonica and Stabler as well. Because until about 71, 72, George Blanda was still getting snaps.
And he was older than,
you know, I'm not going to say he was old, but he was, let's put it this way, he was definitely when – he was fixing. Look for his way. He was in the back room doing dishes the day of the Last Supper. That's all I'm gonna say. He was, you know.
Well, you know, one thing that we have to say about Madden, and since I'm in that age where we're talking about what he did as an announcer, Madden made the game fun. He brought it down to simple common denominator.
When he spoke
football, and he spoke football in a way that lay people understood. And I'm not just talking about the boom this and the boom that. You know, Madden really loved the game. He explained it so that everybody could say, oh, now I know what's going on. And
John Madden taught me, look at the center and two guards, and you'll know where the play's going. The center going forward, you know it's a run. If the center going back, it's going to be a pass. I learned to watch the game.
There was someone asked him, and I think that's one of the greatest quotes I ever heard him say. When you see the game, what do you see? Who do you focus on? And he said, I see everybody. Now, think about that. Now, remember, widescreen TVs still weren't really there when Madden was in prominence, you know, and you started seeing them more so, you know, near the end of his career. But think about that. Yeah. To me, that's how old school he was. And, again, that's the thing about being the lineman because, see, I've always felt like the linemen are sort of, you know, like the, for lack of a better word, what's the Rob, the dead men,
the
dead men poets. Well, they're the Dead Men Poets Society of football.
Yes,
because
that's right.
They have to know the blocking schemes, to know,
yes,
you know, angles and everything else. It's like, it's sort of like being the catcher in baseball, where
that's right.
You, when you've got to know where everybody, where everybody else's responsibility is, and that, and see, to me, and it's interesting because now, you know, Mike, the other day we were talking about great announcer tandems of all time, just, you know, for football, and Paul, you know, Pat Summerall's on two of them, him and Madden, and him and Tom Brookshire, who we all love. But see, I can't remember. Al DeRogatis, was he a lineman as well?
Yes, he was.
There you go. See, that's the thing.
Al
DeRogatis, you know,
the linemen know. The linemen know what's going on. Al DeRogatis and Kirk Gaddy made a great team. Pat Madden, Pat Summerall, who was a kicker and offensive player. And Madden made a great team. And Tom Brookshire, who played defense as quarter.
Yeah, Tom Brookshire. I remember
We have the Professor Fred with it in the house as well. But
gentlemen, do you know that the Oakland Raiders made, NBC made the Oakland Raiders change their numbers? Do you remember back in the early days of the NFL, the Raiders were really silver.
I remember that.
The silver soap.
NBC said, we can't broadcast the game.
You're not photogenic, yeah.
Because the silver is glaring into the camera. And Al Davis said, I don't care. NBC said, okay, if you don't change the number, we're not going to broadcast your games.
And he relented a little bit. He relented a little bit. He basically put, like, I remember the uniform you're talking about, because they use it for their throwback. It's silver, but it had a black, but it had the black, but it had the black back, but it had the black background on the piping, so you could see it. But those, you know, even if you had color TV, those things were blurred. It's sort of like I'm gonna date myself. You remember UCLA's football's old jerseys where it looked like it was like when somebody basically threw up on the numbers?
I remember that shit. We had the professor in the house as well. But, fellas, the most important thing about Madden is that fans learned the game through Madden.
Yeah, they did.
He might have had a joke here and a joke there. But he really taught. He was a good teacher, and he made you watch. Anytime a team is getting their ass whipped and you still find the game interesting, that's the mark of an excellent announcer. And Madden and Summerall were always bona fide when you sat there and watched them play.
We can't find that today, Michael. I watched the game this week, Monday Night Football. I can't do this.
That's why, you know, Gary, that's why God made the mute button.
That's right. We got Ray and Reggie and the Professor Fred with us among us. Reggie, can you hear us?
Yes, sir, gentlemen. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to all of y'all, and keep all that damn snow up in where y'all at, and leave me alone.
Sorry, Fred. It's y'all's turn this winter. Sorry.
Hold on.
Oh, man. You're gonna get it this weekend too, man.
Well, we got, you see, down here we actually had ice. Like, they actually, the state actually put out like a drive, doing something that I had never known them to do before. They were doing driving APBs because of the ice, because it was like in the 50s a couple of days ago. And then, of course, being Connecticut, we went from 50 to 50 below in warp speed.
Hey,
so,
hey, Mac, you sure that wasn't Gino and Murphy going back and forth with that cold spell? I thought it was Gino and Murphy.
Not even. Put it this way. Why the hell do you think they were so, do you think they were both so angry?
Yep. There's no question about it. But
yeah, I mean, it was literally, this state was literally the ice capades most of the day today.
Well, y'all keep that ice
capades.
That's
your
old business. We don't
have nothing to do with none of that. I don't blame you because I've driven in North Carolina during the cold, and it's you know, I this way. To quote W.C. Fields, I'd rather be in Philadelphia.
I heard that. All I would say
about that is we know when we see a bunch of people out thinking they can, they, you know, that all know that they can drive on ice, which Eskimos can't do. We know that we ain't. No. Okay, the next subject.
Okay, well, Professor and Reggie, what did you like most about what Madden brought to the table?
Go ahead, Reggie.
Reggie's on already.
Well, okay. First of all, you do know that Madden did coach for the Nomad Raiders.
Yes, he did.
So I heard.
Which does not raise the flag too much on him for me. But having said that, to me, a lot of what Madden did was what Oscar Robertson and Bill Russell had tried to do to the NBA a few years earlier. And the nicest way I can say this, there was a lot of crap that came out against them because they were too loud and a lot of other stuff that they were saying about them, which is how you call a game today.
That's right.
Madden basically came along and did the same thing. To me, Madden was like listening to Madden do a game. And I'm saying this in a rough way, but not exactly in a nice way. You go down on the block and listen to old school guys who, you know, the older they get, the better they were.
That's right.
The older he got, the more he knew about the game. And he knew, and don't get me wrong, I think he knew the game inside and out. But he could still relate to the most eloquent person and the most non-eloquent person out there, which made it good because listening to him do a game to me was good from the perspective was, I don't care how sorry the game is, he going to find something about this game. And I heard this, somebody mentioned this, and I think it was Mike said about as a lineman, he knew the game. Well, years ago, my baby who's almost 39 years old now, and about 5 or 6 years old, he made this comment. Daddy, why the quarterback get credit for the game? And that man, you know, that man then make everything happen. He was talking about the center because other than kickoffs, what is it that what happens on in a game that the center doesn't snap the ball? Whoever's on offense, you got to snap the ball. That guy he talking about because, you know, that guy always got his hand on the ball. And see, this is what a 5 or 6 year old, I forget which it was, it's been a few years, but as a 5 or 6 year old, he recognized that, but he thinks football is, you know, football is something you do as an excuse for the band to play. But anyway, he recognized that, you know, at that age, he recognized that so much of the game went through this one guy. Because the ball, you know, put the ball down, the guy, he's the first one out, he puts his hand, you know, and because, you know, back then, when he was coming along, they were just beginning this thing with the center, with the hand signal where the guard was allowed to stand up and look back. They were just about gotten into that back then. And because of that, people like Madden could tell you that, because he, Cornell Meaner was at Winston-Salem State. One of the things he instituted was this thing where he would bring women in and teach them football. Mm-hmm. Starting with wives, the player wives, well, not player wives, but coaches' wives and their friends, and he would just sit up and walk through and talk through football with them, so that they would understand it. And see, to this day, there are women that come to Winston-Salem State games that were there. He was there because, and then I was like, I ain't going to no football game other than homecoming.
That's right.
But Madden bought, the only thing I can say that's negative, that term that he used to use, and he and several others used to use, smash mouth football.
Yep.
It's the very thing that they're trying to get out now. I saw a guy get hit on the sideline over the weekend. I'm still hurting from that. But it's still, you know, but see, the reality is some of the stuff they're trying to take out of football, you really can't. I've seen two guys get thrown out of games, college games this year, because, quote, they lowered their head. Okay, Mike, you played back there. You played receiver in DB. What
That's
is
right.
the stupid thing that you do? Especially when the guy coming into you lowers his head.
You lower your head. You lower your head. You lower your head to make the head. You lower your head to keep it falling.
And see, the other thing that you do, and see, like, this is why these guys get their knees torn up now. Because, okay, we won't smash my football. And every so often I run across that hit that the guy from Cleveland put on Lance Warren, out of Norfolk State, hit him. I still see him trying to figure out which, okay, I'm down the hill. Is that the light at the end of the tunnel, or is that the tunnel? And it's funny to me now, because I was looking the other night when I saw it. I wondered if he got up and actually started towards the wrong bench, because it was something about the way he got up and looked around, like, damn. But no, but Madden was good, but to be honest, though, Madden was good for the game, because he got us away from some of these little anal retentive announcements. Much the same way people like Gus Johnson and a few others who I know are brothers, and then some of the several white guys I really like doing again, because I always forget his name, but he was old school white guy who did games. Yep. He did with Super Bowl years ago, and I was listening to him a few nights ago, and I'm like, oh man. You know, I think he's been dead on the
street.
Kurt Gowdy.
Yeah, Gowdy. But you know what? I appreciate that man existed, because he was not a football snob. He didn't talk down to us. He talked to us like it made
sense.
No,
not at all. You see, having been a player himself, who my understanding wasn't all that good.
Exactly.
He had an appreciation for those struggling guys as well as those superstar guys. And some guys, the thing with him being from the Raiders, he was a part of that group that helped bring in a lot of the HBCU guys. So by virtue of that, he knew where some of these cats come from. Because I was just listening another show a few minutes ago, and they were talking about draft choices and all this kind of selection. Well, you know, let's go back a few years. You know, let's look at all the mistakes that certain teams made because they went to an HBCU. And, you know, I personally don't think that Mel Blount was all that bad, although he went to that little Southern school. I don't think that the guy from South Carolina State, I don't think he all that bad, even though he wasn't drafted. You know, and it's gotten so good now that it's bled over to the NBA. because Ben Wallace was not only undrafted, he was unwanted and told he was too short.
That's true.
But he,
and then
most people will miss this, but the fact that he came into the league undrafted, not even looked at on nobody's draft, but somebody decided that he'll be a good practice player. Well, it's people like Madden who were able to spot those kind of guys out there. You know, granted, with the Roney family, they had Bill Nunn Jr. to do it for them. But at least they, you know, I mean, come on. These people, see, and some of these people are such snobs that they miss white players because, remember, the only person that wanted Mike Webster was Mike Webster's coach.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he was too
That's
short.
Right.
You know, I'm talking about Hall of Famer Mike Webster, Mr. All
right.
Pro. Mm-hmm. Well, eight out of the every how many years he played, I think he made eight All Pro teams. He was too short.
Yep.
But he was too short to play to be a center in the NFL. But he not only played in center position, at a high level for all those years. He also was a long snapper on all. He was the long snapper for all the kicks.
Mm-hmm.
So all this is somebody used the term football snobbery. That's football snobbery is like basketball snobbery. They tell you that you can't until you do. Then they want to be your buddy.
Yeah. Exactly.
I got to give Big John Madden credit. When Daryl Stingley suffered that spinal injury, and this was in the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The bad thing about it, we once again, as Professor talked about in T-Max, saw how cutthroat business the owners and the people and management. John Madden goes to the hospital, and nobody there for the Patriots.
He knew.
Nobody there.
Yeah, he knew.
And he's calling around, and basically had to stop the damn player on the tarmac to get a business person from off the phone. He said, this guy is in bad shape. I need to get somebody back here.
And
I know we're talking about John Madden, but I'm just going to say this. Me personally, when it came to Brown taking his shirt off and walking off the field against the Jets, I'm praying for the brothers. I have a soft spot in my heart.
There's a lot more. There is so much more to it than that
that Pittsburgh game against Cincinnati 5 years ago.
The Burfict hit. Yeah, in the playoff game. Yeah.
You cannot tell me that did not do something to him. Because the poor man was stressed out. Professor, you probably know the game. He was stressed out trying to get the ball that was overthrown. And this man teed up his forearm and, I mean, had a running start. And damn, they tried to knock his head off. Now, I don't know what Marvin Lewis told Burks before that. And I would say that has a lot to do with what's going on with Antonio Brown. I'm praying for the problem. I don't see nothing funny going around.
But Reggie, it's even deeper than that because if nothing else, at least one reporter has said that during the exchange between the two, something having to do with him playing hurt, and that was part of what the deal was there. And unfortunately, when we have to deal with some of these gentlemen like that coach and some of the others in the NFL, NBA also, because, see, I can remember a time when someone I knew that played for the Detroit Pistons, they were down to eight players, and I remember the coach stood up and turned his and went back to the water fountain and turned his back every time this young man wanted to come out of the game. And at the end of the day, he did that to him. He had done it to him twice already. And at the end of the day, the next week after, they said the coach said he complained too much. So the next week, he got released. And back then, they didn't pay you the way they didn't pay you up front the way they did now. And then the incident injury, they tried to hold back part of his. They basically cut him to avoid a bonus pay, which had something to do with this particular situation too, from what I understand.
But either way,
come on, Mike has said this several times. I'm gonna just plagiarize what Mike used to say. It's still the old plantation.
It is. And let's be real about this. We had, we still down on the plane.
It's just a high pay grade. But even without all that kind of nonsense, you know, we all know that the NBA and the NFL ain't nothing but a meat market.
That's right. And we had at least half a dozen old school players on our show, between my show and the Bachelor Band. They talked about what happened to them. Clifford Hobley, among others. Guy made less than $20,000 on a Super Bowl team. That's crazy. And that these old school brothers need to get their money. They need to get the medical benefits that go with them. We had our brother, the defensive back from Washington, who came on, talked about how the league was screwing the players. Literally. You know, these guys put their butts out there on the line. Blood, all that crap. I would not be surprised if Antonio Brown had CTE. We know Earl Thomas probably has it because it wasn't that long ago. He was the hot free agent. And Skip Bayless was getting a hard on hoping that he'd be a Dallas Cowboy one day. Never mind the fact that he had lost his buddy Robert Blankenmeyer and that they were going to do something about this. It's a damn shame. Ultimately, the premise is on the NFL to do right by these guys. And that was our premise in the beginning, to do right by the old school players. But too many of them ended up in similar situations, and this has to be brought to the fore if they're going to go forward. Okay.
Well, I think the major problem one of the major problems he's going to have is his reputation is going to precede him, and that the coach is unimpeachable as it has unimpeachable integrity, wink wink. When it comes to you know, all this other stuff that's going to come out about him. Because there's more going to come out about him. But isn't Mr. Arrington the one whose son killed that lady last year?
Lamar Arrington, yes.
Right before the Super Bowl or something like that?
Yep.
Is it just me or has that kind of seemingly T-Mac, you're a journalist. Is it just me, or has that seemingly slipped from the front page somewhere?
It's definitely slipped. There's no question. They know the shit that's going on. To the degree that it is going on, it's never been spoken on, and to Madden's detriment, he would speak on that because he knew as a player that players get hurt. He didn't dramatize it, but he didn't ignore it. And that I appreciate about him. Unfortunately, too many of these other guys who have never played a fucking down of football will talk all kinds of shit and not know really the depth of how hard these guys are playing and how bad they're hurting. So I have to settle on that.
My man Watson from the Houston Texans, I still can't believe this thing been dragged out as long, and he's lost 1 year of productive play. I mean, it's like somebody just put this kid down the shelf. They rode his skills. I've never seen anything like this. A whole year he sits out and never been charged with anything? I mean, they should have been in court by now.
If they had a case, there would have been a case. That's the real issue here. He had a great lawyer, and the lawyer didn't get a chance to do his work. Tony, has that seen it? It sounds as if because Watson was the hot talent, the guy who had everything going for him going forward, he didn't get his chance in the sun because they did not want that brother to succeed.
Yeah, that's the crazy part about it. And see, this has been to me the NFL of all the sports has always been the worst in that, where they instead of really trying to deal with the problem, they try to make an example. We saw it with Kaepernick. We're seeing it now in a sense with Browns.
Exactly.
It's like our way or the highway, and it's got to be bigger than that. It's got to be bigger than that.
You would think it would be bigger, but sadly, they make exceptions for the sports and the leagues where the brothers dominate. I tell you, let's compare what we just said with this. Now, I've lived and traveled throughout Europe, and I can tell you, whether you're on the train or the bus or whatever, the first thing they'll say is, "Where are your papers?" And that's exactly what they did to Djokovic in the Australian Open. Now, Djokovic has been an anti-vaxxer for the most part. And we already know there's been enough sand raised about anti-vax. And Gary, to your point, there was an MMA artist, a champion, a French guy. I think he's from Belgium. He died from COVID, and he was a former champion, in shape, everything. Died from COVID. So this is no joke, y'all. But
Michael beat anti-vaxxers all over the world.
Yep.
Or dying, that's right. See, my thing is, how stupid can you get? If you see people dying of the disease, what are you doing? What are you doing?
You're right. Why bother all that? But you already know what's going to happen. And still they did it. This is the essence of arrogance. Djokovic wanted a medical exemption to play in the Australian Open without having the vax. They told him nicely, "Thank you, see you next year," which is Australian for fuck
you.
You can't
five quarterbacks in the NFL are the same thing.
Yep. Yeah. Now, what was that other thing, Tony? What was that about Cousins? I think Cousins was playing without Vax, too.
Yeah, well, see, and he was, now, here's the thing. During the off season and whatever, he was adamant about, the vaccine and whatever. And then a story moved that, he changed his mind. But we come to find out that he tested positive, and they sort of like back in it, like, "Oh, by the way, he wasn't vaccinated." Where's his fucking suspension then?
Yep.
Where's his suspension?
He gets one game. Your racism, and this racism is so deep. A black guy is the same thing. The quarterback for Carolina.
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton said, "I'm out of back. What's the NFL do? Especially for five games. See, you can't keep doing that."
Gary, this is where the corporate nonsense starts, because what this is, what Tony just described, is a workman's comp situation. If we look at it strictly from union, all right, you got a guy who's out, the specific policies he has to follow. The shop steward already knows he's not vaccinated. His shop steward comes to him and says, "Yo, hey, you you got to dress up, man. You got to vax up. You know, that's not right. You're affecting the other members on the team. And he says, well, fuck you. I'm getting paid. Kiss my ass. The league finds out about it, and they don't do a damn thing about it. That's the long and short of it. So you got two rules, arrogant white guys, and for black guys wondering what the fuck is going on because they're getting screwed.
The thing is, if you, you know, if you really think Antonio Brown's the only guy that has a fake vaccine thing, please.
Thank you. But it's not stopping. And so
I'm taking it tomorrow again. I don't want to get into this politics, but tomorrow is the end of January, right?
Right.
This country, I'll tell you, we are like an apple on the table. Been there for like 8 years, ready to blow up, okay?
Yep.
What happened, January, is I don't care if you're right. I don't care if you're left. What happened on January 6th was a threat to democracy.
Right.
And no matter what side of the fence you're on, we cannot have this. And to have a leader of a nation tell his followers to do what they did. I'm sorry, you can't have it.
Yeah, you can't have it both ways, but
that's what part is in too. It's all entwined, all in stuff. I go back to my old favorite state of power and control.
Gary, that's how rumors get started.
But why would you sit there and let somebody tell you what is wrong? You know what is wrong.
Well, Gary. We're in a nation that we don't know which way is up. Because
yeah, we do. If you go to church, if you believe in the Lord, if you believe in the Holy God, you know what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah, I do. Okay, first of all, I'm being sarcastic, but that's the setup for something else because part of the problem is so many of the people that we're talking about, they go to church too. Unfortunately, there's some things hanging out there with them that they know are lies too, and because they've told so many lies and used the Bible to back them up, that
right.
In today's environment,
they use the Bible to condone slavery. Get out of here!
Yeah, they did. And they still do. And then they turn around and say, you can't even teach. And then those same people turn around and say, well, you know, we want to keep this. We don't want our children to feel set upon or set up the term that they use. We don't want our kids to feel obligated to fix this issue because they didn't own those slaves. Although in many cases they're still profiting from those
leads me to my next point, Red. I mean, Abraham Lincoln freed slaves, right? In Texas, it took 2 years for him to get a message. In the meantime, we have a new slavery coming up. It's called we know that through generation to generation, you had generational wealth, right? My dad gives my son X number of dollars, and he becomes wealthy, right? Now, if you're a tenant barber, you can't do that.
That's right.
Because tenant barber has to pay for all the stuff he borrowed to the bar. So African Americans are three generations behind in generational wealth. And as they now people get smart and they understand this, what are they gonna do about it?
But see that's just another explanation of the same problem. And see,
that's
at
right.
the end of the day, we still got to, you know, we're up against a situation with, that's why I say, we don't know which way is up, because see, we are not the ones in authority. The ones in unfortunately, the ones who are actually in authority are just as much part of the problem as those who are behind them. Just like there are those who cannot agree that there was a quote riot a year ago tomorrow. They say they don't say it was an insurrection. And see, don't fall for the okie doke, because I understand that there's going to be numerous people out there tomorrow calling themselves reporters, journalists.
Yeah.
In other portions of that vernacular. At the same time, whilst they are out there doing that, they're gonna bait the hook on one hand as it relates to what happened a year ago tomorrow, but at the same time, by the end of the report, they're going to let them off the hook.
They will.
No, I thought that too about 3 months ago, but no, this cannot slide. And the reason why this cannot slide is because it is a threat to law abiding citizens. Now you're telling me that Gary Gregg, you have to obey the law. Okay, fine. Now, you go up there and you bust windows, break doors, trespass, and threaten the congressional members. And you tell me you're going by the law, get out of here!
You're right, Gary. Because this hypocrisy has been running along in place for a long time. You know, now I know that when I talk to Professor Fred and Richie, sometimes the line is more conservative thought, and there's a lot of it that makes sense, because when Merrick Garland spoke today, he proved that the Democrats are full of shit. Insane what
well,
the fuck you said.
I agree with that already, because Miss Hillary Clinton called black people super president. What are you doing for?
Yeah. Democrats, unfortunately, picked their spots. And even when they picked them, they fucked them up. The bottom line in all this is that Garland was full of shit. He talked at folks, talking about, we all need to do this. We all know what the fuck you need to do. Do it. And he did not do this. And I know y'all may disagree or agree, because the long and short of it was, I got nothing from this motherfucker that says straight up, he is aware of the situation, he knows what was done, and that he'll punish people. No. It's going to be some dressing in terms of arrest. High profile this, high profile that. They won't get these motherfuckers to say shit. Everybody will claim playing the fifth, and it'll be a shit show. I mean, am I wrong here?
Michael, this whole thing is a charade. I'm sorry, it's this is my opinion. This whole thing is a charade, a complete charade. Because I'll tell you something, if those guys were black or brown or yellow, they'd be in the ground. You hear me? They did what they did a year ago. They were black, brown, and yellow, they'd be in the ground.
They'd be dead. They would be treated like Fred Hampton was treated the night they came in on his ass. That's what really happened. All this playing around and dance around words hides the fact that there was a coup attempt. It wasn't even a thickly veiled one. It was very thinly veiled. Everybody saw that shit was going down, and nobody did nothing to stop it. As a matter of fact, there were some people that wanted the thing to reach its fruition. Now, the fact that we have to talk about this shit in the middle of talking about sports is disturbing enough. But am I saying something I'm missing here? Anybody, please help my brother.
No, you're doing okay. I mean, there's no way to say that Secretary is a horse that runs in a crowd, runs well in the crowd, because they ran, you know, I mean, he ran in the crowd because they said, okay, let him run, make him run in the crowd. But when they let him go, what did he do? He blew the field away. And see, what we're dealing with here is a mentality that goes all the way back, and we have, in a very quote unquote subtle way, we have pushed here and pushed there, you know, and back people into a corner, to we reached the point where okay, they're actually in the corner now. They know they can't fight their way out. Because the truth will make them free, but see, because they don't believe in the truth, they're not going to be free. So what are they going to do? They start doing this little routine where
America lied right from the beginning. What I mean is this.
No, America is a lie.
In 1776, all men are created equal. Really? All men are created equal. You had slaves in your backyard? One third of a vote is equal to a man. How do you do that? And be insane.
How ironic is it that a boat full of motherfuckers would sit down and write and say, well, all men are created equal, and all these motherfuckers on slaves, who the fuck you kidding? Stop the bullshit. And that's really where all this begins and ends. Unfortunately, people won't say that. And in the guise of supposed liberal thinking, they give a high-end view of it. But the view from the plantation is the same whether you're in the outhouse or the big house. You know, it doesn't change.
Well, Mike, see, one of the things you bring up the thing of this quote-unquote liberal mindset. You know, we talk about drugs and all this other stuff that mess up the black family and all these kind of things.
Yeah.
What you overlook is the fact that okay. That was part of it, but look at how it was instituted. Okay.
We don't own boats. We don't own airplanes. How did it get here?
Well, no. But see, that's just more of the CMO bullcrap being fed to you. They just changed the name of it. So see.
Yep.
The social welfare system, that was by design. There were people who understood the black family. Remember, there were black slave families that got together at the height of slavery. So don't that's not an excuse. The kinds of things you got to be mindful of is quote, when they're doing you a favor. Okay, what is the favor? I tell your mama that. she can keep, she can, you know, we're going to take care of you and we're going to take care of Gary and any other children, but you got to kick your dick, you got to kick Pops out of the house. We make it so he can't get a job. Okay, yep. We make it so he can't get a job at a living wage. Okay,
yep.
I ain't, you know, I ain't even gonna get into that whole scenario that we put in place called Reconstruction, because that was just a, it was just another piece of the past, so to speak. And because
Fred,
that was another piece
of the past. You're telling the truth. I grew up with family and friends on welfare. I used to see men hiding and running in closets and shit because
they
were checking on them to make sure they weren't living there, because if they were living there, you know, they were bringing money to the house, so we're going to cut your welfare money. I mean, they did that on purpose.
That was designed to undermine black male leadership.
Our permanent
Yes, and it was done in such a way that he and she had to be complicit in what was being done to them. And I mean, not, you know, because I really didn't know what welfare was until I was a teenager. Because I grew up on a farm. I knew today, on a day like today, we could have had, we could eat the next 3 or 4 months. Okay?
Yep.
We didn't worry about no food. We got about 10 potato heels out back. So I got plenty of food. You can ice potatoes or white potatoes. We got a smokehouse. We good to go.
Yep.
But, you know, if you live in the city, you know, we got 144 acres. If I live in the city, I got what? 200, 400 square feet with no yard. You know, I got a 2-acre garden, you know, that I'm going to, matter of fact, about to get into this right now where I'll be starting to prepare my garden for onions and all that kind of stuff like that. Wow. So what does that mean? That means I ain't got to worry about eating clothes. You know, we can get clothes. But see,
that's right.
When they start, you know, one of the downsides of, and I think it's probably part of the design. Take the,
yes,
you know, let's get the Negroes out of the South, the Great Migration. Let's put them in a place where it's easy to control. Because see, down there in the woods, if they want to, they can make it a swamp. Hey, the Negroes can live in the woods, quiet as they were kept. Survivalists, these white survivalists we got now, they ain't even new. They just happen to be fighting them. But see, when we start taking favors from them and they start doing those favors and taking favors, remember they pushed us out of the South. They reinstituted slavery in the South. They called it Reconstruction. And then, you know, they did the various labor laws and so they put in place.
Right.
And I hope you can hear me because I got a bad cold. But anyway, because of the stuff that they laid out to, quote, do us favors, every favor came at a price, and a lot of times prices are higher than we, or much higher than we thought they were. And sometimes some of them we still pay for.
That's true. Unfortunately, as the old saying goes, the nicer the nice, the higher the price. And they will never let us truly compensate for what was done to us. You want to call it reparations, you want to call it whatever you want. I just say cut the fucking check and shut the fuck up. But, you know, there's a whole other spin to that, that they do. Sadly, I have to keep on talking about sports. I have to make this claim that Gary was right. It was weeks ago, but Gary was right. Everything stops when somebody dies. Now, Gary, we know for a fact, we think at least one college player has died. But I found out about one MMA player, big French guy who was from Belgium. He died from COVID. They said specifically he died from COVID. I was trying to bring the file up, but the file was corrupted, so I could not get the gist of it. But, yes, here's somebody who had it.
healthy, a champion, everything that's gone with that, nothing that would imply that he could that he would succumb to something like this. But Gary, you folded like a cheap suit. And the attitude that the malady, that COVID, would come in and blow up the aid gap in your immunity is proof positive that this thing is nothing to mess around with. Everybody should have known a long time ago that this is something you can't sit to the side on. It's out there. Folks are dying big time with this. Players are having their schedules removed and moved and postponed because of this. But nobody will still say what needs to be said. The cash must flow. They will keep on with this until the right person dies. That's fucked up to say, but it's true.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't even think that's going to change it, Mike. I'll be honest with you. I really don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you had kids getting shot at Sandy Hook, their brains, their heads that are blown off. And that didn't do a damn thing as far as gun control, you know. And also, I would say this, Kyrie Irving, he's a part-time player with New Jersey Nets, and he can't even play at home. Now, what does that tell you right there? You know, and I'm just saying, I got all my shots and my boosters, but guess what? I'm not going to the CIAA back to swimming in Baltimore. I mean, as much as I jump on Professor Number One fan Stephen A. Smith, the brother's been off the air for a long time, and they say he got COVID, and I wish the brother well, but this is no joke with this COVID, man. It's no joke at all.
Well,
University, you cannot go to a game. If you are not related, if you're not related to a player, you cannot go.
Where is that?
Denver University.
What university?
Stanford University
of
Palo Alto.
Oh, if you're not related to the player, you can't go to the game.
If you're not a mother, a father, a sister, or a brother, you cannot go to the game.
All I say, the school must got one big endowment. That's all I say. The way they
did
it.
Reggie, you're not the only one who's out there, because I've already decided, hey, I can monitor all this kind of stuff from home, you know, thanks to this stuff called the internet.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not, see, at this point, it's still up in the air if they're going to have the CIAA, and then if they have it, you know, what are the parameters? Because, you know, I mean, and that's just the law. That's kind of the law of the land right now, and I'm with them either way they do it. But see, you know, I look at it from what, like, I mean, you know, it ain't like it's a big. I'm what, 68 years old. I've been doing since I was 15, and you know, it ain't like this the first one I missed. And not even beyond that, common sense got to be a little more common than what we have right now, because it's truly unfortunate that we have people who are so mercenary and they can't do it. I mean, they got to have the money or it'll be fine.
Professor, do you see a few words about Sam Jones that made his transition this past week? Because I had the pleasure of not only interviewing him on our old radio show, but also meeting him with John B. McClendon at North Carolina Central High School. And, man, that was an experience I'll never forget.
Oh, yeah, I knew him since high school. You know, he grew up just down the road from us.
Right.
And then having between that and working with Coach Mack over the years, I got to know him and a lot of the former players like that. You know, because, like, you know, I helped with their he was one of the ones that did the player of the tournament, you know, all tournament team and all that kind of stuff. So working back and forth with that, I really got to know him. And he's on he's on a list of people to be honored as a graduate of Longberg Institute.
I got Patrick in the mix.
Patrick, can you hear us?
What's up, fellas? Happy New Year to you.
What's up,
going on?
Happy New Year to you.
Hey, tell Baker Mayfield to get a new contract.
So Baker Mayfield go to the hospital get that body.
He needs a new arm.
Yeah, really.
He needs
surgery on his own body.
Yeah, he needs new armor.
Baker Mayfield will not be a Cleveland Brown this year.
He'll be Cleveland Brown this year.
He will be.
They ain't got nobody else to put in there.
Yeah, because we got.
This is an example of the NFL glorifying mediocrity.
You know, you got Matthew Stafford.
He ain't shit. He's 12-4.
I'm proud of you, Mike. You said it. Roll up your tongue, son. I'm proud of you.
He still lost 8 more games than he has won. So even with a positive record, the boy can't handle it. Carson Wentz, that boy ain't shit. Even though Jonathan Stewart is making Indianapolis look good. The bottom line is we have all these mediocre motherfuckers out here trying to ball, and they're getting supplemented by better black talent. But the league won't say that truth. And that is the truth. The bottom line is
How about Ryan Daniel?
Is he in category two? I know Tannehill ain't shit. He knows he ain't shit.
But at least, Gary, why you feeding Mike red meat? Leave Mike alone, man. Stop feeding red meat. Leave him alone.
No, Tannehill is what he is. Tannehill's the game manager. He knows that. He knows that John Henry, or badass Henry, really would have been the MVP because he allowed Tennessee to maintain their identity. He gave him opportunities to be successful because when they gave Henry the ball, he'd be running holes through these motherfuckers.
That brings me
to the most important question of all. Now, Tony, please start this off for me because we all have an MVP vote here. Who is your MVP?
Wow. Oh, hello. Did we miss something?
Y'all talking one. What was that?
Oh, I'm going with Aaron Rodgers. I got no problem saying Aaron Rodgers.
Well, yeah, I would go with Aaron Rodgers, but I have a problem with Aaron Rodgers. The problem with Aaron Rodgers is this. In the beginning of the year, what did Aaron Rodgers do?
I know what he's doing now.
Guess what? If you want to play pussies with your franchise, you ain't an MVP. Because MVP is a team player. Aaron Rodgers is not a team player.
Come on, Gary. You know what's going on. Green Bay knew that he didn't get vaccinated. They helped cover it up. They knew what was going on. It was all about the Bucks. That's all they cared about. They tried to appease the man, but they know just that last shot of getting to the Super Bowl.
You know what the Eagles get to the last shot and play the game?
Well, hold on. No, don't point crazy for that. There's some meat in that sandwich. If you know somebody is not vaccinated, and they knew, the league knew, Patrick, you've been in the position 14. The league knew. They let this motherfucker off the hook. If he was black, they had his black ass up against the wall.
The league knew every player that's been vaccinated. Come on, man. They knew Aaron Rodgers wasn't vaccinated, and so did Green Bay.
Unless he was vaccinated at Bug Hustle or somewhere like that, they gave him a piece of paper that said, you vaccinated with chlorine, Clorox, or whatever. And, you know, he's
going to get bleached.
Come back in 21 days.
They knew.
How is it he being who he is was the only one who got vaccinated and didn't get did not get proper
credentials.
Yeah, the paperwork with what he got. Because, I mean, it's just, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, you're right, Tony. You made the same point of my cousins and his punk ass. Why wasn't he suspended?
Mike, I'm going to throw my pen. I'm going to give the MVP conversation this. It's not who should be the MVP. It's who I think they're going to give it to, what everybody thinks. Aaron Rodgers has 35 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. But when there's one guy who has 40 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, and almost 5,000 yards as of this coming Sunday, his name is Tom Brady.
Huh?
And what? Don't be surprised.
Real quick, Patrick, we're in a handstand. Is Harbaugh going to coach next year in the NFL? But he's leaving Michigan. You cannot tell me.
This what I said today. Somebody put them on Facebook. I didn't give them an answer. I don't care where he coaching next year. I know one thing. Come November, he won't come to Columbus. He want to get out of there right now.
He
ain't
take
my
that.
Word for it. Take my word
for it.
You
don't want to see that ass whooping in Columbus.
Brother, let me tell you something. After... You know, the Buckeyes played this game on New Year's Day and came back with a historic game win. But it took the Mario McCall at halftime, who's been with the team 6 years now. He came back one more year. He had it. The customer out at halftime, he said, basically told him, get up on the Michigan lost. The game is over. We got to concentrate on beating these guys. Once we beat these guys, we can concentrate on what we're going to do to them next November and see what happens in the second half. My point is, Harbaugh knows that what happened today, his best defensive, his best player that went to the Heisman Trophy in New York to the ceremonies, you know what he did today? He declared for the draft. The other linebacker that was a first round going to be a first round draft pick, brother from Nigeria. He declared for the draft. His best player is leaving, so he knows what's coming.
Yep, he's booking up. I don't blame him. Don't blame him. Oh, hey Patrick, what about Jacksonville? All the fans out there from wear a clown outfits to clown in the owner.
They should, because he brought it to the hype.
Gentlemen, on Monday morning, how many go to the viral Monday morning?
That's what I was going to my next thing I was going to talk about. Wait.
How they got a class last Monday, man? We got some news.
I got all this. Chicago, Jacksonville.
Yep. It should be New York. I don't understand. Oh, yeah, by the way, the coach in New York is still doing 11 in the grand
pack.
Right.
I agree.
Mike, let me add this, I'm going to follow up with Gary saying this. Because now how many coaches so much, and I agree with you, are going to be fired. How many black coaches are going to get hired?
That's right.
Well, we know that.
That's the point. Eric Bieniemy has been on the hot list for at least 3 years now. Now he's on the lukewarm list.
What about Jim Caldwell? Jim Caldwell should have had a job. I still ain't figured that out yet.
I
he got dogged in
the
door.
That's number one.
I'm going to tell you this right now. If I am the New York Giants, something
got to
give because they have lost 4 games.
Damn, Gary's the man of the Jets first year. You're going to fire the coach after 1 year with the Jets.
I'm going to tell you now, as bad as the Jets look, they have some positives on that team. Given the option, both teams are going to be right now going to be 4-12. One's going to be 4-11. I think the Jets, because there's some Jets got some young players who are beginning to play a lot better. Of course, they're going to lose, but they're closer to winning than the Giants, though. I'd say that because the Giants team is devastating.
But Patrick, they don't fight on the sidelines. They don't have arguments. Just listen to the coach. He's still ran.
And
unfortunately, they don't think about who would be their next head man. The Giants are very conservative, so whoever they pick,
that's the problem.
Likely won't be back.
Somebody said it best, Mike. Tell Myra get somebody to look at his team with other eyes. He gonna keep losing.
We'll play special coach. Won't be getting fired. Monday will be Charlotte, North Carolina. We don't have a coach, and they just realized it.
He got a big ass contract.
Hey, it's worth their time to pay him to leave the old school way. Just take the money and run, because this man came home with gold money.
And Fred, you're 100% correct. This week they're still going back with Donald at quarterback. I mean, I ain't blaming it all on him, but something may rap with that squad.
Remember they fired the offensive coordinator.
Yep.
As it turned out, you know, maybe it wasn't just him. I mean, and they talk about what a great defense they got, but problem is, they couldn't stop nobody.
Hey, Patrick, real quick,
what's your take on Antonio Brown, man? Because, like I said, I think the brother needs help. I pray to God nobody else signs him. He needs some serious help. Because that shot he took in Cincinnati 5 years ago, I think was the cause of him having his problem.
It might have led to it. I'll tell you this much. When I saw it happen, like I was telling Mike earlier today, you know, I looked at it. I was working on the computer. I'm going, wait a minute. Did they just show a clip of pregame warm-ups? Because a lot of players do that, come out, you know, with the show.
Yeah.
But I looked at the score. I said, that boy is doing that in the game. I can only tell you this. What my loving father in heaven would have told me and tell him. My daddy would have said, boy, you know, when you get to the point where you think your stuff don't stink, God got a way of making you smell it. And he going to smell this stuff real soon when he realized that he can't play no more football and all the antics he put off, and they go get some help to straighten him out, because don't nobody want to touch him now.
Yeah.
And know something else Tampa Bay did. They made it to where now that they might keep him as long as they can so he won't be picked up by anybody else. Not this season.
And add that the fact that some of what's wrong with him, they're not gonna find out that is exactly what's wrong with him while he's alive, because you really can't do that.
And
like I was one of the people that was wanted to talk to me about it as well, kind of stuff you gotta remember. You know, yeah, everybody saw that hit on TV. But have you all been to a professional practice on the day that they hit?
Don't want to go.
Even in early preseason, all that kind of stuff, those kind of hits occur, and they're on film, but you don't get to, you know, this is not This is not NFL. This is not NFL film kind of stuff. This is the kind of stuff that's that's the kind of film you might get sliced out somewhere, misplaced somewhere, that kind of thing. And so you gotta consider. Over the years, this boy's taken a bunch of hits because he even when he was with the Steelers, I mean he was the one that would go across the middle, and you know that's Holy Land there.
Well, Fred, that's part of the reason why your point is correct. That's part of the reason why they cut back on practices during the year to cut out some of that stuff. But he's been in the league too long now, like you said, taking some hits and not dealing with some much. You know, when I knew something was wrong was when he was with the last year he was with Pittsburgh, when he made that crazy accusation with the phone right after the game. I said, something ain't right about that. But Tomlin tried to come up for him and the team. Ever since that time, it's been going downhill ever since.
Well, Bell was on that
team. You don't have to really operate. They have gone above and beyond for a lot of players over the years because, I mean, you know, like, what's his name? The young man that was a linebacker, he's still on their payroll.
Yeah.
Lambert or Ham?
Because the guy got the neck injury. He's still on their payroll.
And there's other things that
they will do. Because like right now, because right now the discussion is, is Tomlin gonna be back? So why wouldn't he be back? Well, you know, he had 15 years without a losing season.
It was just like when,
if you remember a few months ago, they had this thing about him going to Southern Cal or somewhere. You're like, you know, are you crazy? 14 years, 14 years, 14 winning years, and you think I'm going to leave this?
15.
There's 15 now.
Even if he loses Sunday, he'll be 8-1. He still has a winning season.
Yeah. Still another winning run. Outside shot, make a playoff.
Yeah. But you see, the preparation needed for a team and its front office and its executives has to do with what they want to do. Gary started talking about the Raiders. Now, I knew for a fact the Raiders would run anywhere between 6 and 8, number 8 routes, all game long. Because they know if they hit on 2 of them, the game's a wrap. We got them. When the Steelers play, they must run at least 6 to 10 slants and crosses throughout the game. Because they know what they want. Short passes, extended yards on the catch, all that. They know. So it's what the mindset and what the team wants to deliver from its mentality, from what makes the team great. And, Gary, that's why your Oakland Raiders will always beat the Oakland Raiders, because nobody will say, we don't remember how Oakland plays. We do remember how Oakland plays. They came down feeling waves. And the Mad Bombers did this, and the Mad Bombers did that. Just like the Green Bay Packers ran the sweet left. Ran the sweet left. We know. Pittsburgh is in that place. And Tom continues this. Who the fuck wants to allow him to continue this? He's just going to have to
ask. I got to ask Patrick. Uh-huh. How many coaches are going to leave in 2021?
NFL coaches?
Yeah.
NFL coaches, I couldn't tell you. You know why? Because none of them want to give up that money. They're going to be asked to leave. And they're going to be the choice.
You ain't got to go home, but you got to get out of the facility.
I'm turning everybody in.
I'm gonna tell you that now. They don't want to give them that money, but someone got to go. I don't know, but like I said before, how many black ones gonna be out? That's what I'm looking at. You know, And not only in NFL and college, because somebody, there are going to be about 5 or 6 more college jobs opened up before end of January. And they went, actually, they're trying to get as much done before the last recruiting session, which comes in February.
You mentioned Coach Caldwell. Apparently he was interviewed for an NFL job, but unfortunately the job is for Jacksonville.
Technically
it's not an NFL job, I guess, at the end of the day.
Real quick, what was the deal with the guy with Major League Baseball that they got fired? Did he piss off the commissioner or what?
Which
the
one? The
ESPN guy that got fired. Well, his contract wasn't renewed.
Oh, are you talking about Kenny Rosenthal?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was baseball guy.
Baseball guy.
Yeah, what was the deal with that, Patrick?
He'll find a job somewhere. Somebody give him something.
Oh, sure.
He might not be high profile, but somebody give him a job.
So he pissed off the commissioner of baseball, or his time was just up, and they just didn't renew him?
A little bit from column B.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. because, as you know, it runs long and deep for white boys in the media to find some place to go and they'll cover for them. That's part of the job. I mean, I'm seeing some of these guys. Wait, here's what you need to know. If you got a situation where you've been accused of gambling and doing a Ponzi scam and go to jail for like 2.5 years, and you come back and get a radio show, what does that tell you?
There you go. You got Rachel, please wait. Rachel Nichols may not be on ESPN, but she's probably going to be doing boxing from Bolivia somewhere.
Eventually she'll be on Fox eventually. It's going to happen.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because a mother-in-law is Diane Sawyer. Oh, they're going to find out something.
Yeah.
She may have to do some time at Fox News.
and wait. Let me give another perfect example. One of the best football commentators I know, not because we have an affiliation with the same school, but because he is. It's Chris Carter. Chris Carter had a problem with his show in the morning. And now Chris Carter's not doing NFL football, but Chris Carter needs to be doing NFL football because there's some guys who play NFL football. I'm going,
come on,
what? How'd you get that job?
He pissed somebody off. He pissed somebody off internally. I've known him and his brother on and off. He's out. He's blacklisted. I don't know if he'll be back. But whatever it was he did, he fucked up big time because he's not terrible.
He's done some stuff on NFL, the morning show. He's done some stuff with them. But if you know Chris don't hold nothing back. He'll tell you what he thinks in a heartbeat. Right. You know, so that could be a problem with some brothers. He don't hold back.
Are you trying to imply that an African American sports figure is not going to be allowed to express himself on a consistent basis on a network?
Tony, is Grease Greasy on some fried chicken? Come on.
Is the Pope Catholic?
I'm going to tell you something else who I think that has caused, no, I shouldn't say causes, but some things heated up in terms of his letting stuff go is when he divorced his black wife and married that white brother he got now.
I see him and his white caddy are now on the fan.
Yeah.
Patrick, I hate to go here, but did you hear the rumors about Francis come back now?
Come on.
Say what?
Yes.
About who? Say what? Indeed.
About Francesca making a fifth comeback.
Oh, yes.
Did you coin one of...
Tony, you know why? Because there are so many voices out there. I'm going to tell you what the premise of this is. Let's be real. One thing that's happened over the last 3 or 4 years, which is hell by, I'm going to give it a prime candidate in this, is the Greenberg Show, ESPN. His show is produced where the brothers are the commentators of the show, not the journalists.
Absolutely.
With the fact of technology having so many athletes producing their own podcasts and their shows, giving their own opinions that don't go in line with what traditionally has been the commentary that they want to hear, which means brothers play the games and the white boys tell you about what's going on. They cut that all together. So bringing back Francesca is definitely something that they're going to do.
Yeah, because the thing is, you know, look, there's always going to be people that worship at the feet of the tit of the mouse. But the thing now that is so much different, like you said, other voices out there, and I think a lot of people are just tired of the stuff that's been shoved down everybody's throat. Over the years now. You see whether it's on the internet or what have you. I mean, I've given up on quote unquote mainstream talk radio. Everybody regurgitates everything they hear from either Fox Sports or ESPN. And if there is an independent voice out there, they always try to, you know, they try to make it out like, oh, there's something wrong with him or her.
Yep.
Thank you.
And in terms of ESPN, only time to go get some real conversation is with my boy Keyshawn. Keyshawn ain't gonna hold up.
That's
Keyshawn
right.
Country.
No, Keyshawn let it rip. Keyshawn don't play with
him. I only deal with them for live sporting events. Unless they're keeping NFL Live or SportsCenter in my room, I won't watch it.
Yeah.
And even with the live sporting events,
who's a white woman allows you to be a quarterback in the NFL? This guy's a jerk, man. He gets so much shit wrong, it's ridiculous.
Dan Orlovsky, the former UConn,
I remember when he played for Connecticut. He's an okay quarterback. He got in the league. Now, I keep telling you about having welfare checks. Welfare checks the quarterback. He's your
now, he had a
real
man.
You know why?
Yeah, that's real.
He was in the league for 12 years and didn't do squat and got paid.
Hey,
now, he knows all the answers. He knows all the answers about what other quarterbacks are doing.
He was a designer. He was a designer, Gene Mike Glennon.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, Patrick, my homeboy used to play with the Patriots, offensive lineman Damon Woody. Man, he said they talking about the club, man. They talking about the club. My man be talking cash junk, man.
Fellas,
they showed a graphic of Mike Glennon and the money he had made from his contract.
Oh, Lord.
Glennon made him $30 million in the NFL. $30 million! This is a dead rush motherfucker like this makes over $30 million. accumulating all this time.
Wow.
talking about welfare checks.
And Mike, you can't even say the price of mediocrity has gone up. He's not even mediocre.
He ain't mediocre.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Mike, you follow me? I was going to say the one guy who said what you just said on local media, on local radio, local media here, and on national too. That was on the edge, and if the Tony's on the edge, is my boy Bart Scott. Bart Scott will not hold back. Last week he said about Joe Burrow. He said, stop trying to compare Joe Burrow with Mahomes. He said, he said somebody gonna put a red dot on him and take him out. So the guy said, you can't say that. Yes, you can. He said it was me. I'd be putting one. I said, don't try to compare that guy. I said, he's a good quarterback, but stop trying to elevate him to more than what he is. And they got to hear the discussion. And Bart can hold back.
That's right. See, Bart and Keyshawn experienced shit early on, especially Keyshawn.
Yeah.
He ended up running with Gruden early on. He's still around.
Yep.
He's still with me. They've got no control over him. He can say what the fuck he wants. I don't blame him. Because Gruden and Cass almost ruined his career.
And Tony, this goes in line with talking about Francesa. Now, the story I had about Francesa, I was around Francesa for years. I never met him, never talked to him. I've been in the same press box as him,
My condolences to you, Pastor.
The trick is, Francesa would never have anybody like Bart Scott as a guest. You know why?
Absolutely not. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Dude. No, because see, Francis wants to ask the questions and ask at the same time. And Bart would tell him, man, have you ever played? Shut the hell up. I'm telling you what it is. Bart would say that. Keyshawn wouldn't want to.
It's funny, we were talking about January 6th earlier. The biggest thing with a lot of these guys, him, Carton, Jim Rome, and all this other stuff, never have another alpha male black there with them because, unlike Jim Everett, they would be, they would slap the taste out of their mouth.
And your point, Tony, as well, because the guys you mentioned, Francesa, Carton, and Carton likes to play. His thing is about playing about that. He's close with Rachel Robinson. And?
Right.
that whole line of guys on talk radio, white boys, that was controlled by white boys, has been obliterated by opinions from athletes. And there's somewhere, a suit somewhere saying somewhere, well, we got to put the other guys back on to give another opinion, which means not the building.
Instinct credibility. Yes. Mm-hmm. You can't tell them they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. They've been there. They strapped on. They played. And what you going to say? What the fuck can you say? Shut the fuck up and listen.
That's true. And some guys can't. And that's why I give credit, when people were dogging Greenberg about his show, I'm going, I watched the show critically, from a producer's perspective, going, what's he trying to do? But after about two shows, I said, he's letting the brothers, the people who play the game speak. All he's doing is getting out of the way, letting them talk, as opposed to the other way, they want the host to talk, and have the guest say, yes, no, yeah, you're right, the same weak conversation. And again, along with technology, these podcasts that these guys got, let me tell you, these podcasts, I'm listening to Matt Barnes and Jackson's podcast, Crazy. Who else? There's about five podcasts. I mean, the podcast between, I've got the guys. Anyway, there's about four or five podcasts I listen to, Brothers Run. I mean, you get a whole different perspective about how the game is played, and they don't mind talking to guys. Why? Because they know what they're talking about. They don't have to concede to a lot of mediocre conversation to make the host look good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's exactly right.
It should be so simple, but we know it's not. And the NFL, they're cocky because they're making money that we can only dream about. There are so many different revenue streams that the NFL has a hand on. They've got gambling. They've got fantasy money. They've got straight money. They've got playoff money. They've got new money coming in from other franchises like Jacksonville that are still paying their way in to get into the club. There's so much money that they can afford to lose money. And they can afford to be stupid,
Another week, they're going to make big money. You know why? Because all that playoff money they make.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's the main reason why they're going to put a Monday night. They're going to do a playoff game on a Monday night.
Tony hit it on the
head.
That's exactly right. It will be
all
Monday night football
money.
That's right, because it's cash money, baby. As Randy Moss says, straight cash on me.
Right.
The NFL is making unreal money.
More money.
And the biggest club is out there. NFL Sunday Ticket is in their last season. And Amazon and
Amazon.
Everybody and their mama wants NFL Sunday Ticket.
That's right.
Yes, indeed. A quick question to Fred and Reggie.
Yes, sir.
Dion is making some moves. Dion said, I want to get your feedback on. It builds around two things. First of all, Dion said he's tired of playing the role of a patsy in football. He don't want his team to be, on TV playing against Michigan State to get their butt beat by 40 to get a check.
I don't blame him.
And we need to get more competitive so we can compete against these guys. Now, there's going to be some school, a Miles College or a Tuskegee Institute, say, we're going to take the money. What you feel about that, man? Because Dion made that very clear. He said he ain't doing it.
Come on, Professor. You're the financial man.
He did it because, and I guess it was because he was already on the schedule, but, I mean, he did take good ass up there for the calls. But, I'm in agreement with that. One of the things I'm working on the history of the HBCU basketball, and one of the first things that I'll start with my own institution, we have a gym that was built for a population of 2,500. It seats like 3,000 people. Okay, we're at 6,500 now, and we still got a gym that they have. It's almost like a lottery system they use for kids to go to the ball games.
Okay,
killing your market. The thing that's missed with him, Jackson State has the largest home stadium there is among HBCU. 65, I think it's like 65 or 69,000.
Yep. I
think Ole Miss or one of the schools used to play there. Now they play there. It's the city's own stadium, and that's their home field. Grambling always got away with it because they played two games, maybe. They played homecoming and maybe two games on campus. The rest of them they played on the road anyway. But our school's got to learn how to build in capacity. We got to, we got to promote ourselves. And I'm living proof that the average HBCU don't even have a written history beyond what they put in their media guide. So, there's a lot of stuff they need to be doing. And if they'll do those things, they don't have to worry about being competitive. Because, I'm looking at the list of the old list of NAIA schools, right? Do you realize that about a third of the Power Five schools used to be in the NAIA?
Yeah.
Add to that, the mid majors, they've got the Power Five and the next five plus the mid majors. Most of them were at one point. East Carolina was a it was an NAIA school back in the 50s. Western Carolina was an NAIA school back in the 50s. You go down, just you go right on down the list, go back and look at old the district tournament setups and all that kind of stuff. They were all in the NAIA. And that was, and this was even before they, before the NCAA came along. And remember, NCAA's first out about accepting black schools was, well, we don't have small schools. Right. And they didn't have them until 58. And ANT, you know, schools like ANT was the first to play in the NCAA. And because of that, you know, our schools still treat athletics as an extracurricular activity. It is not the sports entertainment business.
That's
one. But real quick, Patrick, you realize that this past week there was over 5 HBCU schools that had bomb threats. Norfolk State, North Carolina Central, Spelman.
Get out of here.
And
bomb? For what?
Now you don't think that's not a coincidence of the white Klansman, AK Trump, and his gang?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Trying to kill him. But this ain't 1920s. We got guns too.
That's what I said.
And that's going to be different.
There's a famous shirt that's out there online that says, "Dear white supremacists, we are not our enemies."
Hello. Yeah. Hello. But Patrick, when it comes to HBCUs, we got to learn how to also cultivate sports and not look at it as being a hinder. You got schools out there that say, as long as you don't bring no negative attention to me and I got positive things, it's fine. But I had one little small negative thing dealing with sports and all of a sudden they're ready to shut everything down. And our attendance, and a lot of our, especially the CAA schools, is atrocious. I mean, down in North Carolina, everybody's not Winston Salem. Everybody don't turn the town red, as the professor knows. You got a lot of schools that guys don't even show up. Students don't even show up. That's revenue that is not coming to the schools that they need. So it's a catch 22.
I think Chris Paul and someone else, and I forgot who it is putting together a coalition with a building and a floor to promote the element of promoting black college sports from using the model of the big time schools, and more importantly, what they're doing with what I said they said did 20 years ago, use a business model with what you have to create it. They're not just talking about it; they've already established how they're going to do it, and I think it's great.
And I'm just going to say, when black people stop saying administrative cost, they put the money where it needs to be, not administrative cost.
Okay. There is a potential, and Chris Paul is probably one of the better ones to do it because he is a child of HBCU. I mean, like I said, I went to school with his aunt and I think an uncle or cousins, and several of his relatives were in school with me back in the day. The thing he has to be mindful of is that he, like so many others, have to be careful that they don't come with so many quote new ideas that they grab all these young broke folks and miss all the people who are older who got money. Now that's one of the things that I think, because I don't know how well that thing he did up in Connecticut was. I've heard some good things and bad things about both of them. Personally, I see the here and there. My thing is this: you can't tell a story that you don't know.
That's true.
He
you know what?
Knows some from the periphery, and nobody. As my dad used to say with his third grade education, boy, don't nobody know what wit is like a man standing in water.
Come on.
Okay? And because of that, there's a lot of things he probably can know. And with the way things are today, people are so shallow, they'll beat it all up. But that doesn't make, you know, like I said, when I'm going through some of this stuff I'm going through today, that's why I've been quiet. Because some of the stuff that I have discovered here, we have so much that can be done if they will do it. It's just that they don't want to go pay the price to get it done.
Well, we got to do something. And I think, like I said, I think what's the stuff I've known about, I've thought about what Dion and his boys are doing, they ain't talking about it. They're doing it. And I hope it's a mouthful of other schools do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like I say, though, some of the stuff that they're doing, and some of the stuff they're claim to, has been done already. It just, you know, we didn't have some of the situation a lot of things that we could get into about that. But it does, you know, it's, you know, and like I say, let's put it this way, here come the Negroes like that who are going to stand on the shoulders of people, but ignore the shoulders they're standing on. Not just that, leave it at that.
I think also what I've seen from my perspective in media, more particularly the visuals that they put out to really attract my eyes, that can be seen as something that's comfortable to look at. They've got some people involved in their media production that's made similar stuff look really nice. And I've seen some other schools are trying to do the same thing. But again, technology, they make the technology easier to acquire this way. It's getting the right people and giving them the opportunity to present it to where it can compete, or at least tickle your eyeballs.
Yeah. You know what, guys? I really love the dialogue. I got to cut this one short because I'm running out of juice, and I know my voice is acting up a little bit. I want to thank everybody for adding their wisdom and throwing something good in the pot. I want to get to final thoughts. We will do this again. The ancestors would not ask for anything less. I want to thank everybody for the input. Reggie, close it out and give us something
to think. Yes, sir. But first of all, brother, I'm glad you're feeling better, Mike. You know, prayers go out to the ancestors and the creators of the shows we stand on. And like I said, man, putting the hands on you, hope you're feeling better. So I'm praying for you. Just be honest about something, gentlemen. 2021 was not a good year for black folks. See what you want to say, it wasn't.
That's right. Yep.
Between the crime we had in the community and then the craziness going on with the media and the sensationalism. And don't get me started about the vote. And all by the way, just talking about some of the trials of the police officers that can't believe they were convicted, and they're still in shock. But then again, hey, that's the way of the world. I'll just say again, Patrick, thank you so much for bringing your knowledge, man. Every Wednesday, I say, Patrick, please call in. In honor of all those great capitals and honor of all those great men out there and the warriors, I want to salute you, brother.
Indeed.
And my late
thank
father, Eldridge Davis recipient, stand there saying, boy, you're doing good, boy. You're doing good.
We're rich. I had my capital stuff all day today because today is Founders Day. I had my new stuff on all day
Amen.
Long.
Amen. Yeah, that's why I said it. I posted that on Facebook about all the great capitals out there. So, out of my dad and Chapter Visible and a lot of others, I've asked for Mission Patrick to lean on the shield, and thank you for what you do.
Patrick. Well, having said that, Patrick, it's your turn, my brother. Thank you as always for what you do. Please throw something in the pot.
I just want you all to do this. As you watch television, the playoffs are coming, you know, you pick a TV. I want you to pay attention to the commercials for gambling of all the major entities.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, not again.
And guess what? Here's something that you have to really look at. Every time they promote one, there's always a brother promoting it. Whether it be Jamie
right.
Foxx, Martin Lawrence,
J.B. Smooth.
Hey, call him by, hey, call him by his name. Please.
Here's my question. The only thing I got to say is this. If they got the umbrellas in the front, how many folks do they got in the executive office making some money? That's all I got to ask.
Come on.
How much this money they going to slide through some schools, maybe some HBCU schools that they can advertise with or make some online to make some money? That's all I got to say.
Yep.
They got all the umbrellas in the front, but I want to pay attention to it.
Patrick, you know what I say. One for you and one for me. Two for you and one, two for me. Three for you and one, two, three for me.
Okay. Listen, you know, when it comes to gluing the gob, the brothers are getting the glue, and everybody else is getting the gob. And we already know a gob is more than the glue, so that digress. Professor, excuse me, I had an accident while I was out on holiday, so I will get my book order in. Thank you, as always, for what you do. Give us something to think about, please. And give us a shout-out for the book.
Well, the book/books are along the line that we were just discussing a few minutes ago, the history of Black college football, Sports Encyclopedia. One is the history of Black college football. The next one coming out will be women's basketball, followed by men's basketball. And they're available at www.blackheritage.com.
Yep.
What we were discussing a few minutes ago is on par. You know, and I'm glad that Dion and CJ and all the other alphabets that they're talking about, I'm glad to see that they're coming along and seeing the vision and with a vision for what can and should be done. But what cannot be lost in all of this is they cannot produce, there's a segment they can produce that is great for HBCUs, but just tugging at the hearts of HBCU people and alumni and administrators and all those kind of things, you know, and I've gotten in trouble for saying this several times, but, you know, there was winning football at Jackson State before Neon Dion recognized that Florida A&M was across the railroad track at Florida State. And because of that, you can't come in as a Johnny come lately and be all the in-all, do all the in-all, because we've seen that try before. We've had plenty of coaches, and Rod Broadway is one of the few former NFL guys who he could actually coach. Same thing in basketball. We've yet to find one of them that was great. But at the same time, though, there's always possibility. There's a mixture that has to be there for that to work, because that's how HBCUs have always worked. And like I say again, we I'm open to anything that's going to be positive for HBCUs, and it doesn't have to be me because it never was about me. But at the same time, I would venture to say there's probably nobody out there who has as much information as I have and know the kind of things that I know. So, hey, we'll talk.
I admire the Hall of Fame list you made for Basketball Hall of Fame coming up.
Uh-huh.
I like that. I like that one a lot. Matter of fact, I sent it to a partner of mine here locally because he went to Winston-Salem. He knew Stephen A. I said, you need to check this out. So I sent you a website.
Send me his name because I probably know him.
I'll get to you.
All right.
Okay.
Professor, nice work. Patrick, thank you. BG, your turn, brother.
That's a brother in England named Lewis Carl Davidson Hamilton.
Right on.
His brother is going to do a race course. Formula One. He is breaking records every year. And the American press ignores him. American press doesn't know who this guy is. Lewis Hamilton has crown, the triple crown of racial exile. He has won 103 victories. He has got 182 podiums. And still, nobody knows who this guy is. But guess what? At the end of this year, he will be the number one in every statistic of Formula One racing.
Right on.
So I tip my hat to Lewis Hamilton and have a great year in 2021. Clear the gold World Cup. It will be a tribute to Mr. Will Rogers,
right,
our founding father of BASN. All you guys are welcome to come aboard. 646-727-3319,
1
o'clock Pacific,
4
East.
Yes, indeed.
And 9 a.m. in Babu, Botswana.
Hey, you forgot. The brother is a knight now. He was knighted. That's why he didn't come to the tournament.
Yes, sir.
The brother got his knight too.
You're a bad rascal, you are. Hit him, and she hit him, and she knighted his ass.
T-Mac, come on with it, brother.
Due to the uprise of COVID-19, the National Football League is looking into other potential sites for a Super Bowl. Said the NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy, you plan on playing Super Bowl 56 as scheduled at Sophie Stadium in Los Angeles on Sunday, February 13th. We, as part of our signature process, we conduct all the trophies and games. We have contacted several clubs to inquire about the stadium availability in case we cannot play the Super Bowl because we'll do the weather-related issues or unforeseen circumstances. Among the stadiums being mentioned are A&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, and surprisingly, Michael, Cop Pop Connecticut has also been named. I tried to say it with a straight face, but no. Unfortunately, Cop Pop is not part of the rotation.
They didn't go to the death Star.
No. Yeah. Well, actually, Michael was really crazy. They actually considered New Haven, but then they figured, any place.
Straight out of Costco.
Stay tuned.
Come down to that. Gentlemen, it's a little heavy heart that I say these words. I was contacted by Shell's brother. I have a feeling he's going to tell me what I was afraid to know. That our queen is gone. She was fighting her ass off against this cancer thing, but it looks like she's gone. And I don't know, man. The thing about shit running in threes really is working on me. Between what happened to me and what happened to Cheryl, I want to see the next shoe drop.
Whoa, back up. What'd you say?
Yeah, Cheryl. I think Cheryl's gone. He contacted me during the show. I got a call as soon as I get off the phone with you guys. The long and the short of it is, Cheryl's gone. She's been fighting cancer for a little bit. And I will always remember how intelligent she was. Yes, she had the large chest, but she was down to earth. She was smart. She was beautiful. And she was somebody who thought ahead of the game. She worked at the tribute just like I did. I didn't know she had worked back then. She had a really varied background, and she had done a lot of things. Cheryl was a special sister, and I'm going to miss her. having said that, we give her an honor to her, and she is now an ancestor. And I hope she'll look out for me, like I know she'll look out for all of us. Having said that, we'll do what we can to make this better next time. It's been a rough beginning to the year, but we're built to last. We're going to make sure we get through this. And for everybody else, please go stay safe and be safe. We want you all to get from A to B and back to A-OK. We'll deal with whatever we got to deal with. And always remember, you're not alone. We're not alone. And the ancestors will always have our back. It's not corny. That's not cliche. It's simply fact. Everybody, go stay safe. Good night.